You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network of podcasts.
You're listening to Geekcast Radio on geekcastradio.com.
Hello and welcome to Geekcast Radio, episode 18. I am your host, Dave Joe and Mike, and joining me is Steve Megatron from back from vacation. Hello.
Hello.
And for the first time on the flagship show, Kevin Optimus Solo Dumbass Thompson.
I did not put that in there.
Today we are going to be talking about the launch of Hasbro's TV network, The Hub, which they stole from Steve. They stole that name.
They actually did.
Yeah.
So I had that name up until about a year or two ago.
Bastards.
Yes.
Yes. So, Steve, you went on vacation recently.
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
Yes. I went somewhere.
Actually, he went to Tennessee, so he actually came by my city. Went down to Tennessee, came back up, didn't even bother to friggin' stop by, and went back home to fucking Michigan.
He probably waved on his way.
I did. There was this big thing called the traffic jam, and yeah.
Those suck.
Yes, and traffic blows. It was a long 9.5 hours.
Ouch. Hopefully that wasn't all in a traffic jam.
No, it was just a very long and tiresome drive.
Yeah.
Just imagine if you have to drive out to BotCon next year.
That would never happen, because I'm not going ever to BotCon unless it comes to Michigan.
Uh-huh. So, it's been a while since we've had a flagship show episode. You know, I've said this plenty of times on this podcast that this is basically reserved for the main geek topic shows, and just we've been so busy with the other shows that this one just kind of falls by the wayside until we find some generic geek topic to talk about. And what better one to talk about than The Hub?
I agree.
And I'm already getting sick of this fucking TV channel.
Oh, you don't even have it. Shut up.
I'm getting sick of it already.
Oh, God.
I just am. I'm fine with the old cartoons being on TV, so, like, you know, people that have kids like Michael Wilson can, you know, show their kids on TV Transformers and G.I. Joe and whatever else other stuff that used to be on in the 80s. That's great, but for the rest of us who actually have the damn shows on DVD, it's useless.
It is great, though, going down the TV guide and seeing Batman, Transformers, and G.I. Joe back to back to back on the TV guide. Even if I'm not going to watch it, it's like, oh, that's awesome. On a positive note, since you don't have the channel, you should be happy to know that the people, as far as getting the shows directly immediately onto YouTube, that's been happening. So, you know, when Prime and whatever comes around, you shouldn't have to wait long to watch them.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, I've already said, you know, through other means, I will get Prime on my computer or whatever at some point to be able to watch it. But Transformers Prime is one of those things where I'm absolutely ecstatic about the voice cast, but depending on how they mesh with the way the show actually looks, that's what's going to determine my opinion. If I can't get through 20 minutes of the first episode, there's no way in hell I'll watch the rest of that series.
That's what happened to me with Energon.
Well, Energon sucks anyways. I mean, Energon, Armada, and Cybertron, they all suck.
I could get through 20 minutes of Cybertron. I couldn't get through 20 minutes of, I can't remember if it was Energon or Armada.
Both,
probably. Energon I actually watched until Megatron came back, and then I stopped watching because I didn't care.
I think it was Armada I tried to watch, and I couldn't get through the first episode.
Yeah,
I didn't get very far in that one either.
Cybertron, I got through most of it. I didn't say I liked it, but I got through most of it.
Yeah. So I guess what we're going to do here in this episode is, and I'm sorry, I don't know why the hell my voice is being all raspy and nasally and crap, but I've only recorded an hour of podcasting tonight before this, but whatever. I think this is the first time I've had problems with my voice in over 2 years of podcasting. We're going to talk. Kevin basically spent, I don't know, like 16, 17 hours watching all the brand new shows that the Hub has launched.
I thought my DVR was going to explode.
Your head would probably explode.
It almost did during one of the shows.
Well, hold off on that. But the way we're going to do this is we're going to do this morning, afternoon, and evening, or prime time, or whatever the hell you want to call it. That way, you know, it stays. So apparently the early morning preschool shows, it's called the Hubbub.
Yes, it is.
God.
Are you serious?
Yep, they're calling the first block. They have four different blocks of shows, and they're calling the first one the Hubbub.
Fucking stupid.
And that is early morning shows directed at a preschool audience, more kind of like either educational or, you know, little tiny kids.
Yes. And those shows in that block are In the Night Garden, Animal Mechanicals, and Marioko Yummy.
And that's the American one.
And Woot Woots.
I think it's the What Whats, but I have no idea.
Woot Woots, Wat Wats, whatever. Wat Twats, it doesn't fucking matter. You didn't even look at that one.
I set my DVR to record like last week, and I must have somehow, when I was going through hitting which shows to record, I somehow missed that one. So that's the only one out of the new ones I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Which is kind of upsetting because I wanted to see that one because it somewhat resembles the characters look interesting, at least. I'll leave it at that.
So as far as this block, like, I mean, you said it's basically the early morning kids preschool educational show type. Like, how are any of these shows educational?
Well, they're not really educational. I shouldn't say that. I thought they were going to be since they were directed at the preschool kids, but it turns out that they are not very educational based. I guess I'll leave it at that. But, you know, it's still interesting. I get, you know, there's probably some listeners that have little kids out there, so maybe they want to know which ones are worth checking out and which ones aren't.
Right.
The first one, In the Night Garden, that was originally – a lot of these shows that we're going to talk about, even though they're brand new to American TV, some of them are not brand new to TV around the world. So they got a lot of stuff from other countries. So In the Night Garden is actually a BBC British show that had already aired there, but it's the first time it's aired in the U.S. was yesterday, today, whatever day it was.
Right.
This is what I wrote down for In the Night Garden. This is the one time I'm going to read you straight from my notes. The first three words I wrote was, "This is disturbing." Then I said, "What are these creepy Teletubby things?" "This is retarded." "I don't know how any human being could think this is watchable."
Was that the one that you texted me that your brain was going to explode?
Yes.
Holy crap. We start right. I thought the show that your brain was going to explode was like down the line.
Well, it was down the line in what I watched because it wasn't on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So it was towards the end of the ones that I recorded. This show, it reminds you, it's set up like the Teletubbies where it's like this live, almost live action type background with these things in these costumes that resemble no animal or creature you've ever seen before. They don't talk. They jump around, make hand motions, and make noises sometimes. And then there's like a narrator guy that talks to them every once in a while.
Can they possibly make children's television any more dumb?
I'm pretty sure if children watch this show, they will forever be scarred and turned into like serial killers. This is worse than Teletubbies. If that's possible. The first thing I thought was I thought it was a combination of Teletubbies and Barney at first.
Shit, Barney's an improvement. At least he talks English.
Yeah, but these people don't even talk. or these creatures, and it goes, and sometimes it goes like minutes at a time without any dialogue being spoken. And I tried to follow some type of plot line, and I just couldn't. I eventually had to stop the record before, or stop the show before my head exploded.
So basically what this is a nightmarish version of Teletubbies meets Barney meets Wally.
Done by British BBC people.
Well, no wonder it's nightmarish. I mean, hello.
This is the number one show in this block that I would avoid at all costs.
Wow. All right. What about Animal Mechanicals? What's that all about?
All right. Animal Mechanicals was a Canadian show. So, again, it's, you know, keeping the trend of getting shows that had aired in other countries. Mm-hmm. Animal Mechanicals is kind of it reminds me, as far as the character designs, they look like maybe what you would think of if, like, not the regular Legos, but the preschool Legos, you know, the ones with the bigger blocks.
Mm-hmm. Mega Blocks, yeah.
Yeah, like the Mega Blocks. If Mega Blocks was made into a cartoon, it might be something similar to Animal Mechanicals. It has a decent peppy intro. Like I said, they're Lego-like things, but they all have Mechana, some type of power. So, like, the one is has, like, he's Mechana stretchy or Mechana strong or stuff like that. It's not horrible. I mean, that's obviously strictly for preschool, and they show two little, like, 10 to 15-minute segments per show. It's about 1,000 times better than In the Night Garden. but it's kind of cool. There's like a little T-Rex character. There's like a, there's all kinds of, like, there's some animals, there's some like car type characters. But I could see kids liking this one. It's not too bad.
Okay.
I don't know anybody that does the voices, but you know, if I had a preschool kid, if they liked the show, I wouldn't say you couldn't watch it.
Okay.
That's good to know.
What about the only American show in this first block, Marioko Yummy?
It sounds like it should be Japanese, but it says it's an American show. I have no idea what these things are either. They're some type of blobs. This is actual animation. It's not like In the Night Garden where you got like these weird like costumed puppet type things or whatever you want to call them.
All right.
These are actually animated things, but the animation is had to cost like $2 to do. They're like these circles and squares and like ovals and whatnot with legs.
Mm-hmm.
And the design and the animation style just sucks on this. the voice acting's good. The voice acting has Brian Drummond, Kathleen Wesoluck, Scott McNeil's on this. So the voice acting's really good. The story might be good, but I just can't get past the cheap-looking design and animation and trying to figure out what the heck these characters are. So far, Animal Mechanicals is about the only one that I would suggest to anybody.
That's pretty bad.
And what about the Woot Woots or Watt Watts or whatever it's called?
This one's coming from New Zealand, so it's got that kind of flavor to it, I guess, but I haven't seen this one. The characters remind me of something that you would see on The Muppet Show or The Fraggle Rock.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing it's a little bit different since it's geared towards preschool. I am going to watch this eventually just to see what it's like. I have a little bit higher hopes on this one than I did on any of the other ones. So we'll hope that it's kind of like Animal Mechanicals and at least worth watching or watchable for preschool kids. But if I was to pick a block of the hub programming that is the worst, it's definitely this hubbub stuff in the morning. So luckily it's all on like from, I think it's like
6 to 9.
Yeah, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. or something like that. So I'm never like alive at that time of day anyway. So.
Well, and the other thing that I think is retarded is at least the first two have names that halfway sound intelligent.
Yeah.
And to me, if the show's name isn't intelligent,
yeah,
when I have kids, they are never watching that show.
Right.
And
yeah, and I don't know if I could ever watch something called Marioko Yummy.
That just sounds Japanese to me.
I might be able to watch something called the What What's if they're like a cool type of creature type thing, maybe, but Marioko Yummy just is disturbing.
So. None of this impresses me whatsoever.
No, it shouldn't. It shouldn't.
And here we go with the midday and afternoon block. The first, I'll go down the list and then we'll go through each show here. For midday afternoons, you have The Twisted Whiskers Show, which is an American show. Dennis and Ganasher, which is a British / Australian show. Cosmic Quantum Ray, which is a German show. Atomic Betty, which is a Canadian show. God. Pound Puppies. Yay. My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic. Oh, God. Strawberry Shortcake's Berry Bitty Adventures. Oh, boy. And Del Toro Quest, which is a Japanese show. And we will save the game show stuff for later after we talk about these ones.
This is definitely a much more interesting block.
Infinitely so.
Some of these shows are much more watchable than any of the Hubbub early morning stuff. Some of them are still bad, but it definitely has a good mixture. If you have kids, they're probably going to find at least one or two shows that they're going to like in this block.
All right. What's the deal with the Twisting Whiskers show?
The Twisted Whiskers show is actually one of my favorite out of this block. The Twisted Whiskers show, basically there is it's kind of like – the best I can compare it to is almost like Looney Tunes / Tom and Jerry, that type of storytelling or plot lines.
Mm-hmm.
You have I think, four or five sets of creatures here, or sets of animals that star in their own segments. One of them is a dog named Goozer, which, not a great name, but he has his own segments. Then there is a set of cats named Dine and Dash. There is a bear called Broken Bear. There is a cat called Tiny Head that has a huge body and a tiny little head. And then I don't remember if these are both dogs or not, but there's another set called Yelp and Dander.
Those are probably dogs.
I assume they're dogs. The only ones I saw in this episode, since they only show two segments per episode, so every episode you're going to get a different set of the two headliners out of the five. Mm-hmm. The one I saw was Goozer the dog and Dine and Dash the two cats. What happened with Goozer is basically you have a male figure that owns this dog. He's never shown from neck up. You only see him from basically like waist or stomach below.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks to his dog a little bit, but doesn't realize that the dog is as intelligent or can think for himself or whatever. It's just like a pet for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Goozer goes around and he's just doing his own thing. And like in this episode, a squirrel came and like started throwing stuff at him. So then he goes after the squirrel, and it's kind of like that whole Wile E. Coyote Roadrunner type thing.
Okay.
And that was pretty entertaining. I actually watched that whole thing. There's not a lot of talking, but there's a good music line, and it was entertaining. And the second one had two cats that were kind of a team, and they were tormenting this dog that was owned by this fisherman that was trying to keep a fish for this client he was selling to, and the two cats were trying to eat the fish. They're all kind of, like I said, kind of like Tom and Jerry type stuff or Wile E. Coyote type stuff, so that makes it entertaining. It was pretty good writing, even though there's not a lot of dialogue. And the second one had a cool Popeye music back, like music lines throughout the whole show. I don't know if they did that like intentionally to try to harken back to Popeye, but you could definitely hear Popeye theme parts throughout the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with the second segment, all the humans were only shown from the waist down.
Yeah, this, like you said, it sounds a lot like Tom and Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not specifically Tom and Jerry themselves, but just like the background characters, because all of Tom and Jerry's human people were waist down, so.
Right. But it was definitely, for me, not someone, you know, an older person, obviously, that's not who this cartoon is aimed at. I was definitely impressed with it, and I was entertained the entire time. I didn't fast forward through any of it. And it's all in CGI, so the graphics are really good.
Cool.
Or the animation style is really good. I guess it's not graphics, but whatever.
Yeah. What did you think, or what's the deal with Dennis and Nasher, or Ganasher, or whatever the fuck the name is?
Dennis and Nasher might as well be Dennis the Menace British style.
Oh, God.
Dennis has this horrible British accent, as does everybody in the entire show. It's just a regular, you know, traditional animation style. The theme song was all right, but I just could not get past the voices on this. Yeah, basically the kid and the dog are this troublesome or mischievous duo. The police are after them in the very first episode. There's two 10-minute segments per show, but it's like a horrible British version of Dennis the Menace. I would never watch it again if I had my choice.
Yeah, okay.
Never done that.
Moving on to Cosmic Quantum Ray. What the hell is this?
Cosmic Quantum Ray was actually decent. It is about a boy that's in, I want to say like junior high maybe age, and he gets somehow goes to this ninth dimension. He gets whisked off into this ninth dimension. I forget how, and where he finds this guy named Cosmic Ray and Team Quantum. And he becomes part of that team, and they are enforcers of natural law. This is probably actually the most educational out of all the shows I saw, because it does a lot of like scientific stuff in it. Talks about elements and stuff like that. But basically, there's this this team with Cosmic Ray, this guy named something Buckethead or something like that. These two alien girls and this teenager or preteen, and they basically battle these cosmic villains. It's pretty good. It's not something for me, but it's decent. And then to go back to the 80s, there's an ending segment called Bucketworth's Cosmic Universe where he gives like some scientific facts. The only problem I had is the scientific fact he gave in this episode would have been so over the heads of any child watching this that they would have never understood what he was talking about. Decent voice cast. Tom Kenny voices Cosmic Ray, or Quantum Ray, I guess is his name. Sam Vincent voices the kid. Colin Murdoch voices Bucketworth. Richard Ian Cox is in there. Matt Hill. So it's got a decent voice cast. But it's an okay. There's only one segment, so it's not like the other ones where there was two segments within the half hour. It's just one half hour show.
Right.
But it's decent.
So you got Quick Strike in this show, right?
Yeah.
All right, so moving on to Atomic Betty.
Atomic Betty might as well be Cosmic Quantum Ray for girls.
Okay.
A decent theme song. I absolutely hate the style of animation. It's more like the late 90s, early 2000s crap animation that I've ranted about in other shows, almost Dexter style.
Hey, leave Dexter alone now. Come on.
The girl, again, is a junior high student who whisk away, or not, she doesn't go into like some ninth dimension, but she goes to this like secret place where she reports to this fish captain thing. There's lots of weird creatures that I don't know what exactly they were supposed to be, but she fights evil, and then she comes back to real world in her school, basically. One segment per half hour. Taja Eason, voice actor, is Betty. Len Carlson is actually one of the bad guys. I didn't know he was still doing a lot of voice work, but that's kind of cool.
Wow, yeah, that is cool.
If I had to compare this one to the Cosmic Quantum Ray, maybe it's just a guy, because I'm a guy, but Cosmic Quantum Ray was better. Atomic Betty, I just didn't like the animation style.
Yeah. All right, now, Pound Puppies. Is this the original Pound Puppies, or is this new?
No, it is not. It's new.
It's new.
Fuck.
This is an American show, obviously. It is basically what you can consider the third Pound Puppies cartoon that we've ever had, if you want to break the first one into two different ones.
Mm-hmm.
But none of the original Pound Puppies are in this. The Pound Puppies that are there are named Lucky, Cookie, Niblet, Strudel, and Squirt. Now, the animation on this one sucks.
Yes, I've noticed from the picture that you posted in the link.
Yeah. The character designs suck. Everything visually about this show sucks. However, the story is... The writing in this one, when I watched this, it was the best writing I had seen up to that point. There's going to be a few later that are better than this now, but the writing is actually really good. The story is actually good for the age group that it's directed towards. Basically, you have a pound with these dogs that I named off earlier, which are all different types of dogs, which is a little different than the original Pound Puppies. The original Pound Puppies were basically all the same types of dogs, just different colors.
Mm-hmm.
This one has like a little like wiener dog or like a sheep dog, or they're all different types of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the first episode that I watched, a dog gets delivered to this pound, thinking it's just a regular pound. Then these dogs basically reveal that they have like a underground like base command center where they all like run things, and they have connections to everybody in the outside world unbeknownst to the guy that keeps the pound, which is the horrible name of the dog catcher McLeish.
So basically this is an animated version of the movie Cats and Dogs.
kind of. And basically what they do in the first episode is they find the one dog that gets delivered during the first episode a new owner to adopt, that adopts the dog and takes him away. So basically their motto is that they can find a person for – there's a boy for every dog or a person for every dog, a dog for every person, and they're going to find everybody an owner. They do – there is a funny thing. They do use squirrels or – I think they're squirrels or chipmunks that are in their command center, and they use them because they have – or not really opposable thumbs, but they have basically the ability to do stuff that the dogs can't do, which was kind of humorous the way they did it. Like I said, great writing, good voice acting. Greg Berger, Danny Cooksey, Eddie Deason, John DiMaggio, Rene Aubergines, or however you say his name. Eric McCormick plays the main dog. He's the guy from Will and Grace.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Rappaport. Betty White eventually is going to be in it, but she was not in the first episode that I saw. The only problem I have with this is the way it looks is terrible. If they would have done this with better animation, better character designs, this would be a good show.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Because the story writing's good. People know Pound Puppies as a brand. I just don't understand why they made them look the way they did.
It looks lame.
Yeah,
in my opinion. And being that I judge shows on what they look like over anything mm-hmm. else, if it doesn't look good, I won't even bother.
And that's how kids usually do things too. A kid's going to be much more concerned about what the the visual appeal than the actual storylines.
But at the same time, all of the kids' shows nowadays are pretty much this crap style animation that somehow these networks get away with.
Unfortunately, maybe kids have been destroyed into the fact that they just accept this as normal animation.
Well, that and they haven't had actual, genuine, good animation since pretty much the 80s and early 90s.
Point taken.
And give or take off and on up until the 2000s.
So, what?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, so moving on to, My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic.
All right, this one basically suffers from the exact same thing that Pound Puppies does. The character designs and the animation style sucks. And if you view the pictures of the My Little Ponies, you will, if anybody goes to hubworld.com or, BTVA or wherever you can go to get pictures of it, you'll see it immediately. The ponies just, in my opinion, don't look as cool as they could. They look flat. There's no depth to them, in my opinion. But just like Pound Puppies, the stories are actually good. The writing's good. The voice acting's good. It's just the look that I don't like. This is also the first one that had the first one of the new shows that aired on the Hub that had a – this was part one of a two-part pilot basically, which I thought was interesting and a good idea that they actually had a couple that had two-parters to start the series with instead of just having a one-shot episode to begin with. So there is a little more continuity in this one, I guess. It does have a lot of homages to the classic – My Little Pony theme songs and music.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll hear a lot of stuff during the show that will remind you of the classic My Little Pony if you were exposed to that. Apparently the My Little Ponies have the Force because in one of the very first scenes, the one uses her unicorn or whatever to like move objects, uses her horn or whatever. And she's not a unicorn, but whatever they are. She uses her horn to move all kinds of different things. Like she's like Luke Skywalker or Yoda or something. There's a variety of characters. Twilight Sparkle, Spike returns from the 80s version. There's a character named Applejack, Rainbow Dash, Fluttershy, and the bad character that's introduced in the first episode called Nightmare Moon. Tara Strong voices the main pony, Twilight Sparkle.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the other cast is... there's Kathy Westlock shows up again, Tabitha St. Germain. So the voice cast is pretty good. That's one thing that seems like the Hub's been doing a pretty good job at so far, besides the British-sounding Dennis the Menace. But like I said, this one can basically be summed up just like Pound Puppies. Good writing, good stories, but a good voice acting. Just I don't like the designs on either one of these.
Uh-huh. Now we move on to... Strawberry Shortcake's Berry Bitty Adventures.
I'm not 100% sure because I don't know what the stages are that between CGI and what is just short of CGI. I believe this is a CGI show, which...
Didn't you watch it?
Yeah, but sometimes it's... Sometimes I have a hard time judging between actual CGI and stuff where just the background is CGI or just the characters are CGI. Because some shows only do the characters in CGI, some do the background, some do all of it. So I'm not 100% certain that everything in this show is CGI, but there are definitely parts of it that are.
Okay.
Which automatically puts it above My Little Pony and Pound Puppies as far as visual look, you know, the way it looks.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good theme song. Just like the other ones, there's only one segment. It's basically a 22-minute show. It's not broken into a bunch of different ones. I love the character designs on this one. I love the style. It's all the old Strawberry Shortcake characters, Strawberry Shortcake, Orange Blossom, Lemon Meringue, Plum Pudding, Raspberry Tart, and Blueberry Muffin. They do have cell phones and whatnot, so it's kind of modernized.
Yeah.
I would say this is a pretty good show for girls. The stories are very much like the original stories. This one is as close to the original with just updated graphics, basically. And the voice cast isn't quite as good as My Little Ponies and some of the other ones, but it's still pretty good.
Cool. And finally, for the actual afternoon block, and then we'll move into the game shows, is Deltora Quest. And this is a Japanese show. Oh, great.
This is, so far, the only show on the hub that I've noticed that is anime.
Okay.
Which, if you don't know what Mike and I's opinion on anime is, watch an episode or listen to an episode of Tooncast.
Well, it depends, too. I can do, like, a few, such as Dragon Ball Z, but other than that, I don't.
Yeah. Again, this is continuity-based, which is a plus for me. It has a pretty intense intro. No lyrics or anything, but pretty intense music and action scenes. And it does all... This first episode did a whole lot to talk about the origin of this Japanese show and of the story. It's again, just like My Little Pony, it's a one... the first of a two-parter. And basically, what you have is you have... Originally, there was these seven tribes, and they had these seven magical gems that they put in this belt that the king wore, which kept this evil Shadow Lord, kept him at bay, basically, in the land that they're at is Deltora, which is why it's called Deltora Quest. But basically, at some point, the belt gets destroyed, and the gems, each of the seven gems is cast out into the seven most dangerous areas of the land. And the last king that was king when the belt got destroyed kind of went into hiding. And what the show picks up as is one of the kids that wasn't around back then, who was growing up, has now kind of taken on the task to go gather these seven gems to place them back in the belt, and then they're supposed to be given to an heir to the throne who can then fight off the Shadow Lord.
Wow, this sounds like a knockoff of Dragon Ball Z. They had to grab seven orbs that raised the dragon, and
yeah.
They have ultimate power.
Yeah.
Or it could be a knockoff of Sonic the Hedgehog, seven Chaos Emeralds. So.
Yeah. So besides being a knockoff, the writing seems to be decent, even if they're copying it from stuff. I assume this is all dubbed, being that it's an anime show, and the voice acting or the voices do not line up at all sometimes with the mouth movements. So that's kind of disturbing, but I can see kids getting into this.
Yeah. And we're going to close out all the new stuff that they've put out with game shows. Picturica and Family Game Night. Now, I want to start with Family Game Night. I'm assuming this is just going to be a show showing families playing different Hasbro games, because I've seen Family Game Night commercials where they play Monopoly or...
Well, funny you should say that. They actually, before the hub launched earlier this week, or weekend anyway, we actually saw it, and it was on regular Discovery Channel.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's kind of interesting.
I think this one might be actually one of their more popular shows.
Well, it kind of harkens back to the early 90s with all the game shows that like Nickelodeon used to play and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like a cross between Double Dare and some other stuff. I mean, it's not really Double Dare, but it's kind of got that feel to it. But it's definitely something out there that there's not much of this out there right now. like you said, it's kind of a harken back to the, you know, 80s, 90s game shows, and, you know, there's not a lot of that out there, so I could see this being something that could catch on, possibly. What they do is they take a – I don't know how many different board games or Hasbro games that they will, you know, fashion into a game. I've seen commercials that have something to do with Kinect 4, but that wasn't in the first show that I saw. The first show I saw, it's an hour show, first of all. So it's one of the Hub's only shows that lasts an hour long. And what they do is they take two families of four, and they go through a set of, I believe, five different games. The one I watched, they started with Scrabble, and what there was a big board with five letters on there, and they had so much time to rearrange the letters into as many five-letter, four-letter, three-letter words as they could, and they were basically competing with the other family. That one wasn't that great, but at the end of that, then they get to go pick this like Monopoly card that's going to have some type of mystery amount of money on it that they don't know yet. And then they go move on to the next one, which was a actually the first one right before the Scrabble was one called Guess Who. And what they did is they put a picture of a celebrity and a picture of an item up there. And you basically had to say which one was older.
Yeah,
that wasn't called Guess Who. I'm sorry, that was called Cranium.
I was going to say
that's Cranium.
They're basically turning the board games into live action game shows that they can play on. I mean, I'm sure like with Scrabble or like if they use Trouble or Sorry, or I'm sure they'll have the board game eventually, mm-hmm. or even Monopoly. But they're basically taking the actual board games and making them television shows. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's cool, but.
A few of them they did pretty well. They had a Guessers one where they had three of the four family members hanging on this, like, hanging on by these, like, straps from the ceiling or whatever. And they had to do Guessers in midair, and the person had to guess. And if you got it wrong or passed or whatever, they would drop, and then you'd move on to the next one, and they had so much time to get as many right as they could. The best one they had was a Bop It one. They basically had this octagon set up with eight different Bop It style things, like, you know, Bop It or Pull It or Twist It or whatever. They had eight different ones of those. And each of the family members stood around that. And then they started the game, and the middle circle gives these directions. And if you wait too long to do your thing, or if someone does it out of turn or does the wrong thing, they get eliminated, and it goes until there's only one person left or one team left.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually pretty fun to watch. And then every once in a while they would either reverse or rotate or whatnot, and some people would move and some people wouldn't, and then they'd get booted out. So that was pretty cool. And then the last one they did was an operation one, and they had this giant operation thing, and you had to pull a thing, you know, the different things out of the body or whatever without hitting the edge. And once you pulled it out, each one was worth different points. You had to go through this pathetic, I mean, it reminded me of a Double Dare obstacle course, but it was nowhere near as cool. So you had to pull the item out, then you had to, like, limbo under the stick and jump over these things and go through this big Kleenex box and then put the whatever you had grabbed on this board that gave you that many points.
Mm-hmm.
So those were the games that they showed the first one. Every single game you won a prize if you won. So they gave away a kayak, a helicopter ride, a telescope, a hot dog cart, and a Skechers gift card or something like that. And you got one of these cards that had a certain amount of money. So then you put at the end of the game show, you put all these cards into this machine, and it would tell you how much money was on each card. And one of the cards, if you had it, would have been $15,000. And whoever has the most money wins the game and wins a trip to the Caribbean. But both teams get to keep however much money they got.
Mm-hmm.
So one team went home with $2,000. The other team went home with about $6,000 plus the Caribbean trip. But it was a decent show. Like I said, I've seen commercials that have Kinect 4 and other things, so I'd be interested to see what other shows or what other board games they incorporate into it.
Right.
And the host was good. The host was Todd Newton, who's done.
Oh yeah, I like him.
Yeah, and he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, he used to do. He was doing the new version of Press Your Luck for a while.
Yeah.
Very cool. So what is Picturica?
Picturica was not very cool.
With a horrible title like that, I can imagine.
There was some creepy guy in the corner playing, like a one-man band guy that was like playing guitar and whatnot, but he was like not dressed up and like all like creepy looking. Anyway, he bothered me. But there was basically two teams. They were both three-person teams. And they had to find – it's all about finding these cards that have a certain figure on them faster than the other team, and it just was really stupid. They had to – at the end, they were tied together. Like, the three-person team was all bound together, and they had to walk, like, six – whatever you want to call it, six-legged type thing. And they would call out, like, find the card that has someone with a mustache on it. And then they'd have to go around the set and find this card that had someone with a mustache on it and bring it back to him. And then it was find someone in a uniform. And I don't know. I was not entertained. But luckily, it was only a half hour.
Yeah. So overall, what do you think of the new, like, just overall impression? What do you guys think of the new shows that they've debuted?
Meh.
Exactly.
I would stay away from the preschool block altogether. The midday afternoon. Go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say pretty much the midday afternoon has some possibilities in them, but so far it's pretty much the game show thing that'll probably do it for me.
Yeah, the game show's good. Like I said, there's going to be some people that are going to get into like Del Toro Quest. The storylines are good enough in Strawberry Shortcake, My Little Pony, and Pound Puppies, and even Cosmic Quantum Ray, where they might grab an audience somewhere. I think the hidden gem that might not be popular, but it works for me, is that Twisted Whisker show.
Mm-hmm.
I just like it because it's just classic to me. It's like a modern version of a classic story type,
right.
Classic cartoon.
Right. Now, we're going to get into the shows that Hasbro has made deals with, or the Hub has made deals with other people and stuff that's brought over from the now defunct Discovery Kids channel.
Or Animal Planet, or a variety of different places.
Yeah, a variety of different places. I'm going to go through each block and list all the shows, and then we'll go back and talk about each one. In the afternoons, you're going to have Endurance, which was a Discovery Kids show. Of course, Fraggle Rock, yay. Batman Beyond, which, again, the complete series DVD set is coming November 23rd, so...
I already own it all.
Whatever. Men in Black, which is one of the worst cartoons ever.
It was decent. It wasn't good, but it was decent.
I didn't say it was the worst. I said it was one of the worst cartoons ever. Tuttenstein, which is a Discovery Kids show. Kenny the Shark, which was a Discovery Kids show. And Meerkat Manor, which was an Animal Planet show.
out of that group, the only ones that I would be interested in, I already own the whole complete series of the live-action Fraggle Rock, but I still think it's great that it's on TV, and Batman Beyond. But I wouldn't watch any of that other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much Fraggle Rock and Batman Beyond are the only thing I'd watch out of there, and maybe Men in Black if I wanted to go to sleep.
And right now they are playing Batman Beyond in the prime, in what I consider the prime time slot, which is, you know, when kids get out of school. They're playing Batman Beyond back to back with Men in Black, which I assume eventually that's going to turn into Renegades and Transformers Prime.
Oh, I'm sure.
But
they'll bump Batman till later.
Yeah, but right now that's the time slot that those two are in.
The Kenny the Shark show, I'd caught a couple of episodes back when I still had digital cable. It's okay. It tries to be a very smart Jabberjaw, basically. And
I have no problem with Meerkat Manor, by the way.
Fails miserably. I don't have a problem with it. I've never even actually really... I've seen, like, ads for the show.
Yeah.
But it's not something I would sit down to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have the primetime block. Which
this one didn't get a name. So, you know, we had that name for the early one, Hubbub, for the preschool one. They didn't name any of their other blocks until what we'll get to a little bit later. But I thought some of these should have had, if they're going to do names for the early morning block, why don't they do names for all of them, even though they're stupid names?
Yeah. This one basically has all the classic sitcoms. Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Family Ties, Doogie Howser, and The Wonder Years.
I think it's cool that they're doing this. And obviously the strategy is look at who's the parents now. You know, look at who has the kids that would be watching the Hub. And then play something that they can remember to try to keep them throughout the day.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I've never been a humongous fan of any of those shows, but I still think it's cool that they're all on kind of back-to-back.
I was a fan of Family Ties and Wonder Years, but I was kind of a fan of Laverne and Shirley when I was a kid, but it was more of like, oh, let me just see Lenny and Squiggy. Those are my favorite characters from that show. Happy Days, it's a good show, but again, it's obviously geared towards 50s buffs.
Which I thought it was kind of weird that they put Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley in there.
Well, those two things always aired almost back to back, if I remember
correctly. Yeah, but I mean, I can see Family Ties, Doogie Howser, and Wonder Years are all the shows that the 80s kids grew up with.
Yeah.
Kind of. And I'm surprised they went as old school as they did with Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley instead of grabbing a couple more, you know, 80s style.
Well, it's like you said, they're trying to capture, like, parents and grandparents.
Yeah.
So
they definitely have a mixture.
Yes. And now it's time for the late night schedule, which is called The Haboom.
And they did some decent commercials to advertise this. They had a couple different Haboom commercials that showed a little animation segments or show segments from these three shows.
Oh my God.
I was entertained.
So you have the 1966 Batman live-action Adam West Burt Ward series.
Yes.
Which was pretty cool.
Very cool considering the rights to the for it to be released on any kind of physical or digital medium are so tied up in hell that at least this is one of those shows that it was a really awesome show back in the 60s, obviously, when it premiered, and for us in the 80s that grew up watching its reruns, it was awesome as well, and because it's not on DVD, I like the fact that they've got this on here.
And this is one of the only ones that was a rerun show that I set to record.
Right.
Because I wanted to see it. The first episode was a two-parter that was, I believe the first part was aired tonight. And because this is the first, tonight, actually, right as we're recording this right after the very first late night block aired.
Right.
And the Batman Tonight was the first parter that had the Riddler in it. And it was pretty entertaining. Yep.
I think what I don't know, obviously, I don't work for Hub, so I can't really speak, but I'm betting what they're going to do with the Batman show is air it just like it used to air in the 80s, where, like, say you have a two-parter or whatever parter, and they're going to do the same old... I'm assuming that, obviously, it's the exact same episode, so, because it's the old show, so they're still going to have the thing at the end of... Tune in tomorrow night or next week.
Yes, they did.
For, you know, the same bat time, same, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I can imagine them just running it like that. And then the
Which
other
is
two.
Funny.
Yeah, it's very funny. And the other two, of course, is Transformers Generation 1 and G.I. Joe Real American Hero. For me personally, I don't have the G.I. Joe set yet, but I'm going to be getting it eventually. I have the Matrix set for G1. I do not want to see G1 with friggin' commercials. I just don't. I'm glad it's on. I'm glad it's back on TV. I'm glad that Hasbro is acknowledging that they have the property and that our kids are going to be able to watch it and learn what, you know, their parents grew up with. But for me personally, it's on TV fine. I have a DVD set. I can watch the DVD set.
Right. But like, you know, like we said before, for those that don't have the DVD sets, it's something great that's on once the kids are to bed, you know, from 11 to midnight or depending on what time zone you're in. And, you know, I think it's great to have these three back to back. They did basically the same thing they did with the primetime show. They took something from the 60s and then backed it up against two shows from the 80s. So
right. It
is interesting that they keep mixing that up.
Yes. And then the shows that are, I guess, new that are still to air, Transformers Prime, did you guys see that little, like, half-second commercial with Optimus Prime?
They actually had a bunch of commercials that aired throughout the first day of the launch that showed different little snippets here and there.
Not enthused.
No, not at all.
I'm still hopeful.
No, not at all.
Did you see Optimus's face?
It's fugly.
I thought the movie was bad. Where's the face?
It's...
I really like Megatron's design. And I really like Ratchet and Cliffjumper.
But...
Yeah, I have no bones about them.
But, hold on. Have we seen Ratchet, Megatron, and Cliffjumper animated?
No, not yet.
Okay, so you can.
I take that back. They showed Ratchet in one of the commercials.
Okay, well, I must have missed that. But as far as Megatron goes, you can like his design all you want, but until you see it in the animation, right. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I agree. I'm still holding out hope that it's going to be something I can like.
It's
until I see otherwise.
The only Transformers cartoon that I like, or that I can kind of tolerate having emotable faces, is animated. I am sorry. Optimus Prime needs a fucking faceplate. In Transformers Prime, he needs a fucking faceplate.
I'm just saying, like, this was the... Just reading all the message boards and whatnot, the amount of... I know there's a lot of people that like the character designs and a lot of people that are excited about the show, but reading all the negative, basically, reactions by the fans, it's almost identical to what happened when Animated came out. So many people were enraged by Animated, and look how many people ended up liking it.
I know, but it's not...
The difference is, I think this time around, I mean, granted, they have CGI, which, you know, kudos to them for using some form of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more people are going to be pissed because it's not its own original design.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's more of a
mixture.
Yeah, I myself am not a fan of it, but I am glad that they have the voice cast that they have.
Right.
Oh yeah, I have no complaints with the voice cast whatsoever. None.
Still waiting to see what The Rock sounds like as Cliff Jumper.
The problem, like Steve was saying, the problem with Prime is it's meshing stuff together that shouldn't be brought together. It's meshing animated and movie design.
Yeah, I really wish they wouldn't have put Bulkhead in there.
It's like forcing two opposing magnets to make a charge, and it's not friggin' working.
Yeah. I'm going to wait until I see an actual episode, but I understand what you're saying.
Did they show anything of G.I. Joe Renegades? I thought they were going to show something in the preview.
No, the sneak preview got completely pulled off the schedule with really no explanation whatsoever.
Okay.
And so the only thing we've seen out of G.I. Joe is basically the same little snippets like we saw with Transformers Prime. You see Snake Eyes jumping through a couple of things. I think you see Scarlet a couple different times. But they basically showed nothing about that. The character designs for this one looks terrible, though, in my opinion. I'm going to hold out hope, and I'm going to watch an episode before I judge it, but...
I'm not enthused with the designs either. I would rather watch TF Prime over that. I do not care who they have voicing the characters, because, in all honesty, they could make everybody else look identical for the most part, feature-wise and costume-wise, but they're going to fuck up Cobra Commander.
Oh, yeah, of course they are. And they do have a decent cast so far, but when they got Charlie
Cobra Commander, his voice is going to be lame as hell. They're going to do it completely wrong, and not to mention they're probably going to take the stupid faceplate from the movie, which again is, you know, go back and see an earlier episode of GCR towards the beginning and hear my rant about that.
You don't think Charlie Adler can pull off the voice?
It's not that I don't think he can pull it off. I would rather see Scott McNeil do it because he actually took over for Chris Latta in the Deke series and sounded close enough that I didn't notice that they changed.
He sounded a hell of a lot better.
Oh, yeah, but they...
Not better than Chris Latta.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Much more clearer. Anyways.
But in any case, I would rather see one of the original 80s... Cobra Commander costumes. Either, I know they won't do the hood because they'll say that that's got, you know, Nazi tendencies. But do...
I'd rather see the Deke version than the one that I've seen so far.
The silver armor?
Yeah, even that's better.
See, to me, that was my favorite armor of...
Yeah, that was the only figure I ever had.
I actually have all three Cobra Commanders on my
now
wall.
I do,
mint
but...
in box.
Oh.
So...
Nice.
Yes, I am a great fan of the 80s Cobra Commander.
Yeah.
And even Resolute did a good job on that, but I think they're going to screw it up in Renegades.
Yeah. Resolute may always be the best animated looking out of all of them, in my opinion.
Best animated, however, a lot of the voices seem to mesh together because they all sounded very similar.
Right. No, I'm just saying from a visual standpoint.
Oh, yeah. That to me is probably the best G.I. Joe cartoon.
So other than these other two, there's kind of a weird variety of other stuff that's
yeah.
gets there.
Yeah, you got Dan versus Clue.
Which is the board game and some type of, I don't know if it's going to be a game show or it's going to be actually an actual, like, cartoon.
Right. And then you have Hub World, whatever the hell that's going to be.
Who knows?
R.L. Stein's The Haunting Hour. Okay. The 99, I wonder
which is based off of some type of comic book. I just don't know much about it.
Well, the joke I was going to make was the 99. So where are the red balloons?
Oh, God.
And
you've been watching too many One-Hit Wonder stuff.
Shut up. That stuff's awesome. And the Littlest Pet Shop, which, whatever.
Yeah, not too thrilled about the rest of the yet-to-be-aired, except for Transformers Prime and Renegades.
Meh.
And then they're going
after those two.
Yeah.
And then for Saturday shows, they're going to show Adventures of Chuck and Larry.
Now, does this have anything to do with the Adam Sandler movie?
That's what I was going to ask.
It looks like it's geared towards little kids.
It would be awesome if they made that animated.
And
I'll
then
pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
Yeah. And then they're going to be showing animated series reruns of Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
I dig that. I wish they were also showing the game show, though.
Yes. Where in the World. Awesome. And
yeah, that would be awesome.
And then they're also going, I'm just going to run down this list. I'm not even going to talk about the premiere dates. I'm just going to run down it really quick. They're going to be doing repeats of Discovery Kids series, Adventure Camp, Dino Sapien, The Future is Wild, Grossology, Growing Up Creepy. I almost said Growing Up Gaudy. Holy crap. The Saddle Club, Scout Safari, Serious, Strange Days at Blake Hosley High. Holy crap, that's a long fucking name. The Time Warp Trio, Time Blazers, Trading Spaces, Boys vs. Girls, Truth or Scare, and that's it.
Yeah, and you know, I give them credit for not just completely abandoning the entire Discovery Kids lineup, because I'm sure some of those shows had people that were watching them. But I'm glad that they're not giving these... I'm glad it's not all this, or like a majority of this while they filter in one or two new shows at a time. I'm glad they filled up their entire slate of regular time slots with new stuff.
Yeah.
This stuff is mostly everything I've seen as far as schedule goes. These Discovery Kids series air early, early morning.
Yeah.
So nobody's going to be watching them.
I think the only show on this entire like rerun list or old shows list from Discovery Kids that I ever watched and I thought was fairly... I'm a huge HGTV watcher. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me why. I find it very educational watching like House Hunters and Property Virgins and all that stuff. Before I get into HGTV, I used to watch TLC, the Learning Channel, like for like a dating story and a wedding story and all that kind of crap. One of the first home improvement shows I ever watched was Trading Spaces. And Discovery Kids had basically another version of that where it's boys versus girls, where you have like two boys and two girls basically switch houses. So instead of like a couple, like an adult right. couple trading houses, you have kids trading houses. It's kind of like taking the Extreme Makeover Home Edition team and just splitting them up and having, you know, somebody do the boys stuff, like the kids stuff, and somebody having to do the adult stuff.
Right.
So I thought, you know, I like that they're doing that, but I don't know. There's still, for me, that there's nothing here that I can't either already have or eventually have on DVD that is worth me spending the extra money just to get this channel on digital cable.
No, and I wouldn't spend extra money to get this channel either, but I do love that I get the channel. You know, if it's something that you get with your package, it's something that's better than a lot of the other cartoon lineup channels. I would watch a lot more shows on this than I would Cartoon Network or like Nick Jr. or whatever the Nickelodeon channel is called nowadays.
Nicktoons.
Yeah. Kubo has some decent stuff. You know, it's repeating She-Ra and Brave Star and He-Man right now, so that's kind of cool. But there's more stuff on this that I would watch. I didn't mention that they also have a family movie slot. Or a family movie night slot. I don't know if that's going to be every day or how often that's going to be in the schedule. So far, they've shown the Garfield live-action / CGI movie. I know they have – one of the next ones they have on slot is Muppet Treasure Island. So they might be putting a decent amount of animated movies or kids movies into those time slots. So that's kind of cool.
Right.
The only other thing I didn't mention is for the launch, they did a whole lot of promotion during those first 2 days. I don't know how long they're going to do it, but almost every single commercial break, there was a number you could call and a code word that you could give them. And the first 10 or it was either the first 10 or the number 10 caller got some type of prize. They were giving stuff away some of it was just tents and badminton sets and stuff like that, but they gave away acoustic guitars. They gave away a couple different commercial breaks, gave away flat screen TVs. So I will give them credit for putting a lot of effort into this launch.
And whoever is in charge of their Twitter feed, it's constantly being updated.
That's good.
It's constantly being updated, like, saying, like, oh, well, we hope you enjoyed blah, 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 and coming up next is blah, blah, blah.
Oh, okay.
So
maybe a little overkill?
No, I know, I'm not saying it's overkill, but I mean for, you know.
Yeah.
If you're not actually, like, say you've got Twitter on your phone and you're watching, I don't know, History Channel.
Yeah.
You know, you could look at your Twitter feeds or whatever and say, oh, well, Hub Network just posted a tweet saying War Dawn is going to be coming up or whatever. You know what I mean?
And they could be, you know, setting the mold for that too.
Right, right.
Maybe a lot of other channels will start doing something like that. But I think they're definitely putting a lot of effort. I think they put a lot of time into the planning, and you know, I think it's wise for them to hold off some of the new shows for another month or two.
Well, Prime, I don't know about Renegades, but I know Prime won't air until December. So,
well, I've heard conflicting reports about that. Some people are saying it's going to air the third week of November. Some people are saying December. But I think either, regardless of when it airs, I think it's good to hold off on those because then it'll give them another influx of people, you know, starting to watch those. Whereas, right, you know, the original launch might have worn off by then.
Right, right.
And I like all the promo spots. I like the way they go to commercials, the way they go to and from shows. They do a lot of putting on the screen what the next 2 hours worth of programming will be so people can kind of see what's coming up and whatnot. So I'll give them credit for what they're doing. A lot of the shows I'll never watch again after I had this marathon. But there's definitely a little something out there for everybody.
Yes. Any final thoughts, Steve?
Well, if I had the channel, I would probably watch it. But since I do not, I would probably wait until, for instance, I believe isn't the new Thundercats show going to be on this station?
I believe it is.
Okay, then I'll probably catch that, TF Prime and G.I. Joe Renegades on YouTube or wherever the hell I can find it.
Yeah, and for those people... For those people out there that don't get the Hub channel, don't be too discouraged because I know it was within hours of the first My Little Pony airing on the Hub that it was uploaded to YouTube. I didn't check any of the other shows yet, but My Little Pony was instantly on YouTube. So
that's surprising.
Yeah. And it was crystal clear, looking almost just as good as it did on TV.
Mm. Yes. So I think that's going to do it for our Hub preview or post view or review or whatever the hell we're going to call this. I don't know.
Hubbub. Hubboom.
Oh, God. That's the worst fucking name ever.
Yeah, well, they stole it from me, so you heard it here first.
At least you didn't turn it into Hubbub.
No. I had a website called The Hub.
Yeah. Nice.
And, yes, they damn thieves.
Thank you for joining us here on GeekCast Radio. There are some ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each episode post. Join the forums, protoconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GeekCast Radio minus TFG. And Mike, Kevin, what is your Twitter?
Boss K-Dog.
And Steve?
SCP-21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search GeekCast Radio Network. We are currently still running a Facebook fan page contest. If you help us get to 300 fans, we will give two random fans a Stanbush prize pack. They include one CD and T-shirt each. The CD is signed. It's Stan's new album, Dream the Dream. So that's still going on. Let's see, what else? Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of GeekCast Radio and wish you'll join us next time. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips
and Optimus Solo from BehindTheVoiceActors.com.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Holy fuck, why is my voice going out?
Touch it, bring it, pay it, watch it, turn it, leave it, start format it. Touch it, bring it, pay it, watch it, turn it, leave it, start format it. Yeah, yeah, watch it, yeah, yeah, watch it, yeah, yeah, watch it, watch it. Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it. Touch it, bring it, pay it, watch it, yeah, yeah.
Time for a drawing, Spotty What?
Whatty Whatty.
McKenna, can you do it?
Great! Let's go!
Good teamwork, guys.
Our families are playing America's favorite games. We're gonna play Yahtzee Bowling! Let's go!
Go! Go! Go!
It's good!
Thank you.